Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Greetings to you all in the Master's name, for Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is a blessing for me to be before the believers of this church once again. I believe God has a plan and a purpose for us gathering this morning. This morning we heard from this beautiful Psalm 84. Just like the psalmist, the sons of Korah, writes there, it is better to be one day in the Lord's presence than 1,000 days elsewhere. Those of us who experience this truth, let's just thank God. Hallelujah. Let's praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, for this beautiful day that He has given us to spend time in His presence together. Even though we are maybe not physically together, we are spiritually together. We are in one spirit. We are united by the blood of Jesus. And so we believe that we are in the presence of God together. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to continue studying through the book of Romans. I will be breaking Romans chapter 4 into two parts. So only one part I will be touching on today. Last few weeks, we have been looking over Romans chapter 1, Romans chapter 2, Romans chapter 3. Very quick recap is Romans chapter 1. We were looking at the wrath of God being revealed against the whole world and how the knowledge of God is eternal life. That's what we read in Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 2, as we were studying, we looked at what does it mean to be a true Jew. And we looked at the spiritual circumcision that happens inside of our hearts and that it is God's will for us. And it's not an external act, but an internal act that God is doing in us. In Romans chapter 3, we took a look at what it means to be justified, neethikaranam patti, about being justified before God. We looked at what does salvation mean, and we looked at salvation has three different components, and how Martin Luther, who was a reformer, a Protestant, brought about the changes within the Roman Catholic Church, bringing out the whole Protestant movement. In Latin, we call it sola fide, which is only by faith, and sola gratia, which is only by grace. And so as we go into Romans chapter 4, I said 2 weeks ago that I'll be taking a look at this sort of false teaching about free grace theology. And I want to take a look at that from Romans chapter 4. And I just want us to read a scripture, Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, verses 25. It says like this: He who was delivered over because of our transgression and was raised because of our justification. So then we are reading that verse again. What is neethikaranam, justification? He who was delivered over because of our transgression and was raised because of our justification. So we're going to continue looking at this verse. Let's just continue to just close our eyes and ask God to speak to us in this little time that we have. Let's ask God to prepare us to continue as we spend time in His presence to speak to us and prepare our hearts. Father, Lord, we thank You, Lord Jesus, for this time. We submit this read portion in to Your hands, Lord. Father, this whole morning we have experienced You speaking to us. So, Father, through testimonies, through songs, through, Father, Lord Jesus, Your, through the Psalms, Lord, You have been ministering to us. You are continuing to speak to us, Lord. Father, I pray that as You continue to stay in Your presence, Lord, that You speak to us. You equip us, Father, to live transformed life, lives that is equipped by Your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. I wanted to sing a Malayalam song, a portion of the Malayalam song that all of you are familiar with. We don't sing in churches these anymore because we don't have Holy Communion. It goes like this. Pabate snehipan jnanini pogumo. Pabate snehipan jnanini pogumo devathin paimelai jeevikkum jnanini devathin paidelai jeevikkum jnanini. The song goes like this, you know, Pabate snehipan jnanini pogumo. Will I go back to love sin? Devathin paidalai jeevikkum jnanini. I will continue to live as God's child. That's the English lines to this Malayalam hymn. It's a beautiful hymn. It's a beautiful song. I feel like that song has become associated so much with the Holy Communion. We don't experience that song outside of Holy Communion. You know, that's the picture that we get when we, whenever we sing the song. But it's a timeless truth that we sing. It's a song that is saying that if we are living as the children of God, can we go back to loving sin? Now, why did I sing this song? Because I wanted us to understand, like this understanding of what is grace. In English, grace is spelled as G-R-A-C-E. There is an acronym that we use to often explain what this grace means in English. God's righteousness at Christ's expense. Grace, G-R-A-C-E, God's righteousness at Christ's expense. So, ദൈവത്തിന്റെ നീതി ക്രിസ്തുവിൽ expense. I don't know how to say expense in Malayalam, but on behalf of Christ, ദൈവത്തിന്റെ നീതി നമുക്കായി കണക്കിട്ടു. So, it's because of that, of God's righteousness has been given to us freely. സൗജന്യ കൃപ, അല്ലെങ്കിൽ free grace, is a biblical truth. You know, when we read this portion, Romans chapter 3, 2 weeks ago, we looked at how we are justified by faith. വിശ്വാസത്താലാണ് നമ്മൾ നീതിക്കപ്പെട്ടത്. We are justified before God by faith. What does that mean? What is grace? Grace എന്ന് പറഞ്ഞാൽ എന്താണ്? It is in Greek, it means unmerited favor. It means undeserving favor from God. You know, we just sang in Malayalam, what is it we sang? We sang in Malayalam the song, Kruba Labichorellam Studichitate. What does that mean? Deva Kruba, God's grace Labichor, means Namal, Vishwasigalaya Namal. If we have experienced God's grace, we should praise God. നമ്മൾ ഈ പാട്ട് പാടുന്നത് മാത്രമല്ല, നമ്മൾ മനസ്സിലാക്കി പാടണം. വി ഷുഡ് നോട്ട് ജസ്റ്റ് സിംഗ് സോങ്സ് ബിക്കോസ് ഇറ്റ് ഇസ് സോങ്സ് ദാറ്റ് ഇസ് റിട്ടൺ ആൻഡ് ലിറിക്സ്, ബട്ട് വി ഷുഡ് അണ്ടർസ്റ്റാൻഡ് ദ സോങ്സ് ദാറ്റ് വി സിംഗ്. ഇറ്റ് സേസ് ബിക്കോസ് ദോസ് ഹു ഹാവ് റിസീവ്ഡ് ഗോഡ്സ് ഗ്രേസ് പ്രൈസ് ഗോഡ്. വി ആർ പീപ്പിൾ ഹു ഹാവ് എക്സ്പീരിയൻസ്ഡ് ഗോഡ്സ് ഗ്രേസ്. ദൈവത്തിന്റെ കൃപ അനുഭവിച്ച് ലഭിച്ചവരാണ് നമ്മൾ. അതുകൊണ്ട് നമുക്ക് ദൈവത്തെ സ്തുതിക്കാൻ യോഗ്യരാണ്. വി ആർ വർത്തി ടു പ്രൈസ് ഗോഡ്. You know, so God is asking us to experience this God's grace. And what is this grace? Unmerited favor. Now, I want to talk about what this free grace theology. So I'm saying grace is free. God has given this grace freely to us. There is no price tag attached to grace. സൗജന്യമായി കൊടുത്ത ഒരു ദാനമാണ് ദൈവത്തിന്റെ കൃപ. It is a free gift of God that is given to us freely. It is the grace of God that is given to us freely. It's a free gift of God. In Ephesians chapter 2, Paul says this is the free gift of God. So this is, I'm not saying that grace, free grace, is a wrong thing. But what I'm saying is there is a theology out there that is called free grace theology. And this theology is actually, it has been around for a while. It's actually, I believe it was there from the time of the original church. Paulos and the kaalam modal ulla oru padippirana saujanya kruba theology. Now back then it was not known as free grace theology. I don't see, if you look in the Bible, you will not see free grace theology and speaking against it. But from that time itself, this teaching of free grace theology existed, but that time it was given a different name. And I will take a look at what the name of that theology was. But for us now, what is free grace theology and what is this teaching today? So if you go on YouTube and you search this, there are a lot of videos that talk about what is free grace. And there is a movement that is speaking against free grace, and it is called Lordship Salvation. So it is these two streams of theology. And you're like, okay, what does theology have to do with this? I am preaching about this because right now, this theology is coming into our Pentecostal churches in Kerala. Our Pentecostal churches in Kerala are adopting these kind of views without understanding that it goes against the scriptural teachings found in the Bible. So that is why I'm preaching this, because I think it is for us and our children to understand what is the truth that about grace that is taught. What is this free grace that God gives freely, and what does it actually mean for us to experience this grace in our life? In 2 weeks from now, when I, God willing, if I'm preaching on this topic, I will to continue to talk about justification of by God's grace through faith, through the life of Abraham. We will go back into Genesis and we will look through the life of Abraham, and we will conclude in Hebrews chapter 11 about what the faith of Abraham looked like. So that is for 2 weeks from now. We will continue looking at 4 and 5 2 weeks from now. But right now, I want to talk about what is this free grace theology. This free grace theology teaches us that God's grace requires nothing from us, except it's a free gift. You see, when we are born again, when someone comes into Christ, when they come and accept Jesus Christ as their personal savior, what do we say? What do we tell them? You should accept Jesus Christ as your dash and dash. What is it? Dash is Lord and Savior. So the people who teach free grace only focus on the Savior part. They're not focused on the Lord part. They're focused because Romans chapter 10 verse 9 says, unless you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and you believe that Jesus, God resurrected him from the dead, you shall not be saved. So if we have to be saved, we have to confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. What does this Lord mean? John F. MacArthur, he's a theologian, a preacher, he's a very strong teacher, Bible teacher. He's a great preacher. His sermons are really good. Now, he speaks against Pentecostals a lot. I'm saying that just because someone preaches and teaches good things does not mean we just blanketly absorb everything they have to say. He does not believe in the Pentecostal experience that we experience, so he teaches against it. But on this topic, the Lordship salvation, he has a very important thing. He said, Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. And when he is our Lord, we are required to say that he is our master. Devam nammude master aanu. Nammal oru shishyan aanu. We become his servants or his disciples. He becomes our master. When we say that Jesus Christ is Lord, you know, we are saying that he is our master. It requires submission. It requires obedience. But free will teaches us free grace theology teaches you don't have to accept Jesus Christ as Lord. നിങ്ങൾ പാപത്തിൽ ആണെങ്കിലും നിങ്ങൾ യേശു ക്രിസ്തു ദൈവമാണ് നിങ്ങൾ വിശ്വസിച്ചാൽ മതി, നിങ്ങൾ പാപത്തിൽ കണ്ടിന്യൂ ചെയ്താൽ കുഴപ്പമില്ല. They are teaching that it is possible that you can continue in sin and still experience salvation because God has justified you completely, that you don't have to walk in, you don't have to walk ashamed or afraid of your salvation. If that was the case, then half of the letters that the apostles and even Paul wrote to the churches would be discounted. Because Paul and the apostles write again and again and again to walk in holiness, to walk in purity, to walk in fear and trembling before God, because we have to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. That's what Paul says, and we keep finding it in scripture again and again. But I want to talk about this point because, you see, back in the day in Acts, there is this person called Nicolaus. Now, maybe you don't know his name, but you see, there were 7 people that the apostles, when they started the church, were finding it difficult to minister to everyone, the widows, the orphans. So they said, we are going to find 7 people filled with the Holy Spirit who is going to minister to these people so that we can focus on studying God's word. So these 12 disciples decided they're going to focus on God's word, and then they will find 7 people filled with the Holy Spirit and ask them to lead out in this ministry. One of them is Stephen. We know the first martyr that we record in the Bible, the first Christian martyr is Stephen. But another person who comes up, his name is Nicolaus. Now, church history teaches us that Nicolaus, when he was later on in life, he becomes a person who teaches wrong theology. Tettaya padipira padipikan thodangi. So he starts teaching this wrong theology. Now let's look at what that is. Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2, verse 6. It is the church, I believe, the church message to Ephesus. So Revelation chapter 2, വെളിപ്പാടുള്ള പുസ്തകം രണ്ടാം അധ്യായം അതിന്റെ ആറാം വാക്യം. സോ റെവലേഷൻ ചാപ്റ്റർ 2 വേഴ്സ് 6. This is the letter or message to Ephesus, the angel God sends. Yet this you do have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. This is talking about a group called the Nicolaitans, and God says, I hate these people. God hates these people. And who are these people? Who are these people? And the Bible doesn't talk much about who the Nicolaitans are. So if we go continue reading to the bottom, in to the message of Pergamum, Revelation chapter 2, verse 14, 15, and 16. I'll read this. But I have a few things against you, because you have there some who hold the teaching of Balaam, who keep teaching Balak to put a stumbling block before the sons of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols, and to commit acts of immorality. So you also have some who in the same way hold the teaching of the Nicolaitans. Therefore repent, or else I'm coming to you quickly, and I will make war against them with the sword of my mouth. This is the Spirit of God saying again to the church in Pergamum. When Paul writes his scripture to Ephesus, his letter to Ephesus, he praises Ephesus because they are a good standing church. They are a church with sound doctrine. They have good teaching. It is, the letter to Ephesus is a rich letter with a lot of sound biblical teaching. But when we come to Pergamum and we come into reading about it, God is upset with the church of Pergamum because they have been following some people, some Christians in their midst, were following the teachings of Nicolaitans, which meant that they were acting with immorality. They were eating foods that were sacrificed to idols. They were a stumbling block before the other people of Israel. And God is telling them, repent, or God will make war against them. These people are not outside the church. They are people within the church who are teaching this wrong thing, and God is angry and God hates these people. Why does God hate them? Because these people teach that it is okay to do anything. If you go to Reformed churches, like there's the Dutch Reformed Church, and there are other Reformed churches. And to this day, if you go to the churches, inside the church, they have all these people who are living how they want. But when they come out, there are people who are smoking, who are drinking, who are alcoholics and beat their wives and all of those things. And you ask them, why do you do these things? They say, well, if I am an elect, God will save me. It doesn't matter what I do. God will save me, so it doesn't matter. If I am meant to be going to hell, I'm going to go to hell. If I'm meant to go to heaven, I will go to heaven. But it doesn't matter what sins I do. I will continue in this because I have the freedom to do it. There is this teaching within where that Paul says that, if you are free, you're free in Christ. But he says that not everything is beneficial. I want to take another portion in 2 Peter chapter 2. Is this 2 Peter chapter 2 or 3? Let me see. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 19 onwards. Actually, let's read from 12 onwards. So 2 Peter chapter 1, Randu Patros Erdia Leganam, Randa Madhyayam. But these, like unreasoning animals, born as creatures of instinct to be captured and killed, reviling where they have no knowledge, will in the destruction of those creatures also be destroyed, suffering wrong as the wages of doing wrong. They count it a pleasure to revel in the daytime. They are stains and blemishes, reveling in their deceptions as they carouse with you. Having eyes full of adultery, they never cease from sin, enticing unstable souls, having a heart trained in greed, accursed children. Forsaking the right way, they've gone astray, having followed the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. But he received a rebuke for his transgression, for a mute donkey speaking with the voice of a man restrained the madness of the prophet. These are springs without water and mists driven by a storm, for whom the black darkness has been reserved. For speaking out arrogant words of vanity, they entice by fleshly desires, by sensuality, those who barely escape from the ones who live in error, promising them freedom while they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by what a man is overcome, by this he is enslaved. For if after they have escaped the defilements of the world by the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the last state has become worse for them than the first. For it would be better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn away from the holy commandments handed to them. This is, I'm reading from 12 to 21. The verses I read is talking about false teachers. Peter is saying there are false teachers within the church who are saying that you are free to do anything. There are people who commit adultery, continue to say that it is okay, God has given freedom, and they start people like pursue your pleasures, do whatever you want. You can smoke, you can drink, you can do whatever you want, you can sleep with anybody, you can do all kinds of nonsense, no problem, because you are free in Christ. So Peter ends this word by saying 2 Peter chapter 3, and this is the last verse I'll read, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 11 onwards, 11 to 16. It says, since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning and the elements will melt with intense heat. But according to his promise, we are looking for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, spotless and blameless, and regard the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given him, wrote to you. As also in all his letters, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which the untaught and unstable distort, as they do also the rest of scriptures to their own destruction. Peter is saying Paul is hard to understand. So even back in the day, Paul was a tough preacher, and what he used to say, people were like, what is he saying? It's tough. So when we consider Paul's writing and stuff, you're not in new territory. Even in Paul's time, people thought he was a tough writer or a tough preacher, and it was hard to understand what he said. But people then distorted what Paul said and said that it is okay to do whatever you want. You can do the pleasures of your life. It is the same thing as what God hates the Nicolaitans, because they follow the teachings of Balaam, son of Beor. The reason why I say this is because when God is telling us to come and submit to him, it means renouncing the things of this world. ദൈവം നമ്മളെ വിളിച്ച് മാറ്റി നമ്മളെ കൊണ്ടുവരുന്നെങ്കിൽ നമ്മൾ ലോകത്തിൽ നിന്ന് വേർപെട്ട ആൾക്കാരാണ്. If God has called us out of this world, then we have to separate ourselves from the world. ദൈവത്തിന്റെ മക്കൾ കണ്ടാൽ മനസ്സിലാക്കണം ഇവർ ദൈവത്തിന്റെ മക്കളാണ്. Then when the world looks at us, they should be able to understand these are God's people. They are different. They are not like the normal worldly people. ഇപ്പോൾ നമ്മൾ പുറത്ത് നോക്കിയാൽ ക്രിസ്ത്യാനി പേരുള്ള ആൾക്കാരും അകത്ത് ക്രിസ്ത്യാനി ഒന്നും നമുക്ക് അറിയത്തില്ല. We don't know if they are Christian inside, but they have the Christian identity, the Christian title. They say they are Christians. But we who are called by the children of God, who have submitted to God, saying that he is our Lord, our Master and Savior, we are expected to live spotless, holy and blameless lives before him. So God is calling us to live a life of surrender. If to this day you have lived just as you want, however you have wanted, God is asking us to come back to him and surrender our lives to live spotlessly, blameless, and holy lives before him. Jesus said this, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. നിങ്ങൾ എന്നെ സ്നേഹിക്കുന്നെങ്കിൽ നിങ്ങൾ എന്റെ പ്രമാണങ്ങളെ പാലിക്കും. I'm not sure if that's how the Malayalam goes. I translated it in my own Malayalam. But if you love me, you will keep my commandments. If we say that Jesus is our Lord and Savior, ദൈവം നമ്മുടെ മാസ്റ്റർ ആണെങ്കിൽ, നമ്മുടെ ലോർഡ് ആണെങ്കിൽ, ഇഫ് യു ബിലീവ് ദാറ്റ്, ദെൻ വി ആർ കോൾഡ് ടു ലിവ് എ ഹോളി ലൈഫ്. വിശുദ്ധ ജീവിതം പാലിക്കാൻ നമ്മൾ ഭാഗ്യസ്ഥരാണ്. വി ആർ റെസ്പോൺസിബിൾ ഫോർ ലിവിംഗ് ഹോളി ലൈഫ് ബിഫോർ ഗോഡ്. ഐ ജസ്റ്റ് വോണ്ട് ടു സം അപ്പ് ദീസ് വേർഡ്സ് ഹിയർ. ഐ നോ ഇറ്റ്സ് ഓൾമോസ്റ്റ് ലൈക്ക് എ പ്ലേസ് വെർ ഐ ആം സ്റ്റോപ്പിംഗ് ഹിയർ ഇസ് എ ലിറ്റിൽ ബിറ്റ് ഓക്വേർഡ്, ബട്ട് ഐ ബിലീവ് ദാറ്റ് ഗോഡ് ഹാസ് സംതിങ് ടു ടീച്ച് അസ്. that when we live holy lives before Him, it is a life of surrender, asking Him to be our master. And as we continue to look, we will look about what this means in faith. What does righteousness or justification, faith by grace, free grace look like? Let us just ask God, Father, for His blessing. Father, Lord, we just looked at Your word today. Father, this world just wants to live a life not of submission before You. They don't want to live in surrender before You. But God, we want to surrender our lives for You. We want to be slaves of righteousness. We want to be holy before You. We want to be blameless before You. We cannot do this on our own ability, Lord. We can't do this on our own power. Holy Spirit, You have to come equip us. We don't have the power to force ourselves to do good. Only You can. So Father, will You cleanse us clean? Will You make us holy to walk blamelessly before You? You are our Master. You are our Lord. You are our Savior. And we surrender our lives to You. Father, I pray, Father, when false teaching comes into the church, that we will be a church that will discern, go back to Scripture, and understand the truth about what You have to teach. Lord, You hate the Nicolaitans. Once they were people who were filled with the Spirit, but later they were people within the church who brought wrath upon the church, who was a stumbling block to the people within the church, who led unholy lives. Father, when we look around us, men that we considered great at one point of time, when they taught these things, but yet in their personal lives, they failed. Lord, I pray that we will not be like those people. I pray that we will walk holy and blameless lives before You. Thank You, Father, for the truth that is within us. Thank You for Your love, Your mercy, and Your free grace, which is Your righteousness at Your expense. We thank You for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May God bless you all with these words. Continue to keep me and your family in your prayers. God bless.